Welcome to the deep dive. Today, we're going to be tackling a tough one, family desertion,
Yeah.
a topic that's sadly as relevant now as it was centuries ago.
Right.
You've given us some really fascinating sources for this deep dive, a blend of biblical verses, articles about family and faith,
Yes.
and we're going to kind of unpack how all of these kind of come together and shed light on family obligations, responsibility, and what happens when those things break down.
It's a really interesting mix of material. I think what really jumps out at me right away is how, even though the Bible doesn't use the term family desertion directly, the verses that you picked out offer a powerful look at how the concept of neglect and abandonment shows up within families.
Okay, let's unpack that a little. We've got 1 Timothy 5.8 in the mix here. What's the key takeaway there?
Well, that verse is kind of a heavy hitter. It says, "But if anyone does not provide for his relatives, and especially for members of his household, he is denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever." You know, right there, it positions caring for your family as absolutely central to faith, not just some social norm, but like a core part of what it means to live out your faith.
Wow. Worse than an unbeliever. That's pretty intense. It makes you wonder what providing for meant back then and how that translates to modern families.
Yeah, that's a great point. You know, in those times, providing for was often about basic survival, food, shelter, protection.
Right.
But I think today it has to go beyond just the material.
Right.
Think about emotional support, mental health, you know, helping your family members navigate all the crazy stuff that life throws our way. The principle is the same. Are you there for your family? And are you there for them in ways that they really need you?
Absolutely. Deuteronomy 24.1 semen also stood out to me in the materials that you sent. The emphasis on protecting the vulnerable, especially widows and orphans. Does that kind of suggest that abandonment was already a big issue way back then?
Well, it certainly hints at situations where families weren't doing what they were supposed to be doing. You know, think
Yeah.
about it. If there's a need to specifically command the protection of widows and orphans, it suggests that those groups were vulnerable to, you know, being neglected or exploited. And I think that connects directly to a lot of concerns we have today, like supporting single-parent families or ensuring access to resources for people in need. It's about safeguarding those who are most at risk.
So we're already seeing these like ancient verses resonate with really real modern day challenges. It makes you think about all the debates around like elder care and child support, even just like being emotionally present for your family members.
Absolutely. And it's not just about meeting those practical needs. It's about the emotional and spiritual fallout of neglect.
Right.
You know, take Proverbs 28:15, for instance. It compares a wicked ruler to a roaring lion or a charging bear.
Now that's a vivid image, but how does it relate to family dynamics?
Well, although it's directly referring to a ruler, think about those dynamics of power within a family, a parent or a guardian. Even an older sibling can abuse that position of power and create an atmosphere of fear and control. You know, imagine someone who's constantly belittling their family, withholding affection as punishment, making threats. That kind of emotional abuse can be just as destructive as any physical harm. And Proverbs 28:15 makes that abstract concept of neglect more concrete and shows how damaging it can be.
Yeah, and it's a sobering thought. It's like the verse is saying, hey, neglecting your family's emotional and spiritual needs is a form of tyranny.
Yeah, exactly. It forces us to consider the profound impact of our actions and inaction within the family unit.
And there's another verse that feels relevant here. Mark 7:9-13. Jesus calls out those who are neglecting their parents under the guise of religious piety. It's like
Yay.
he's saying, don't use your faith as an excuse to shirk your responsibilities.
That's such a crucial point. And what I think is so fascinating is how Jesus cuts through all of the kind of legalistic arguments of the time to get to the heart of the matter. You know, he's emphasizing genuine care and compassion, not just going through the motions. It's a reminder that faith shouldn't be this shield to hide behind, but a motivation to actually act with love and responsibility within our families.
Absolutely. You know, these biblical principles provide such a solid foundation, but you have to wonder, how do they apply to the modern landscape of family, which is so different than what it was back then? The traditional nuclear family is not the only model anymore.
Right. And that's where those articles you brought in become so important. We can kind of bridge those ancient principles to contemporary challenges. Like, for example, you know, that article from Much Is in the Source of one of the articles explores the complexities of blended families. You know, it
Yeah.
talks about how navigating those relationships with step-parents, half-siblings, all these new dynamics can sometimes leave people feeling neglected or excluded.
Absolutely. Trying to blend all those different family cultures and expectations, dealing with loyalties and baggage from previous relationships, I can see how easily those situations could lead to unintentional neglect, even when everyone has good intentions.
And then there's that other article, one from mentioned the source of another one of the articles, that really dives into the struggles of single parents. It highlights how single parents often end up shouldering the full weight of family responsibilities alone. You know, juggling work, childcare, household management, emotional support. It's a lot for one person to handle.
It's no wonder that article talks about single parents facing burnout and feeling completely overwhelmed.
Right.
It's like they're constantly on with little time for themselves or their own needs.
Exactly. And when you're stretched, that thin something has to give.
Right.
Maybe you're not as emotionally available to your kids as you'd like to be. Maybe you struggle to make ends meet, which impacts your ability to provide for them. The forms of neglect might look different today. Maybe it's not outright abandonment, but rather emotional distance or lack of communication, or simply not having the capacity to give your family the support they need.
So that core principle from those biblical verses that families are meant to be sources of love, care, and support, that still rings true today.
Oh, absolutely.
But the way that principle plays out in modern society is just way more complex, especially when you consider the economic pressures, changing social norms, and all the other challenges families are facing these days.
Yeah, that complexity is key. And it's why we can't just take those verses at face value and apply them as rigid rules for every situation. We need to consider the context, the individual circumstances, and, you know, the full spectrum of what it means to provide for and care for your family in today's world.
Speaking of context, one of the articles you sent had this story that really stuck with me. It was about this woman who grew up in a family that seemed fine from the outside. They weren't wealthy, but her parents provided for her material needs. But emotionally, she felt completely neglected, like her parents were physically present, but emotionally absent.
That's such a powerful example of how neglect isn't always obvious or out in the open. It's not always just about physical absence or failing to put food on the table. It can be much more subtle and even insidious, you know, and it can leave deep emotional scars.
And it wasn't until this woman was an adult that she realized how deeply that emotional neglect had impacted her. She talked about struggling with self-esteem issues and finding it hard to form healthy relationships because she never learned those patterns of emotional connection in her own family.
It's heartbreaking, but it really highlights how those early family dynamics can have a ripple effect throughout our lives. It's a reminder that the wounds of neglect, even when unintentional, can be incredibly deep and long-lasting.
Makes you think about your own family experiences, right? And how those early relationships shape who we become as adults.
For sure. And it raises some important questions for all of us. What role do we play, not just within our own families, but in creating communities that prioritize care and support? How can we break those cycles of neglect and foster environments where everyone feels valued and loved?
Those are big questions, and they make me think about something we touched on earlier, the danger of using those biblical verses to judge or shame people who are struggling in their own unique situations. You know, we can't just throw those verses around like weapons.
Absolutely not. We have to be so careful about that. And it's crucial to remember that those verses shouldn't be seen as absolute rules that apply in every single situation. They're guiding principles that help us understand the importance of family relationships and responsibilities, but they need to be interpreted with compassion and wisdom. We can't just cherry-pick verses and apply them without considering the broader context of the Bible's teachings on grace, forgiveness, and understanding.
And like we've been saying, modern family life is so complex. We're talking blended families, single-parent households, families dealing with addiction, mental health issues. It's rarely a black and white situation.
Exactly. And that's why it's about seeking wisdom and discernment. And that's where those trusted sources you mentioned, pastors, counselors, spiritual mentors, can play such a vital role. They can help individuals apply those biblical principles to their specific circumstances in a way that's both loving and responsible.
It's like they can help translate those ancient principles into a language that speaks to the complexities of modern life.
Precisely. And it's a great reminder that none of us have to figure this out alone. There's support available whether you're feeling neglected or you're struggling to meet the needs of your family or you're simply seeking guidance on how to navigate complex family dynamics. There are people and resources out there who can help.
And amidst all this talk of challenges and complexities, it's important to remember there's hope. The Bible, while addressing the consequences of broken families, also offers stories of redemption and restoration.
It's a powerful reminder that even when families fall short, God's love and grace are always available. There's always a possibility for healing and growth.
That's a message we all need to hear. So as we wrap up this deep dive into the weighty topic of family desertion, what's the one takeaway you'd like to leave with our listener?
That's a great question.
Yeah.
You know, after going through all of this material and really kind of wrestling with these ideas, the one thing that keeps coming back to me is that family matters. It matters deeply.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like this fundamental truth that's woven through those biblical texts.
Right.
And reflected in all those stories in those articles, you know, the struggles and the triumphs.
Mm-hmm.
We're called to care for one another within our families, to be sources of support, to build each other up. And when those bonds break down, whether it's neglect or abandonment or simply a lack of love and connection, it leaves a lasting impact.
It really makes you think about the weight of our roles, you know, both within our families and our communities. How can we be better sources of love and support? How do we advocate for policies and systems that actually help strengthen families and protect those who are most vulnerable?
Those are the questions we need to be asking. You know, as you continue to reflect on all of this, I'd encourage you to consider how we as individuals and as a society can create a culture that truly values and supports families. You know, how do we cultivate environments where families can thrive, where kids feel safe and loved, where adults are equipped to navigate all the complexities of family life with wisdom and compassion? I think that's the challenge before us.
This deep dive has been incredible, you know, from ancient wisdom to modern day struggles. We've really kind of gone deep on the complexity of family desertion, the responsibilities that come with those family ties, and the lasting impact of those dynamics. Thank you for sharing these sources with us. I have a feeling this conversation is going to stick with me for a while. And to you listening, keep exploring, keep asking those tough questions, and keep seeking out the wisdom and support that can help you build strong and loving families. Until next time, happy diving.